violence in Gaza enters its second week as calls mount for a ceasefire. Brazil's president urges his countrymen to go outside and face COVID-19, even as the country's death toll tops 435,000. A Philippine senator expresses alarm on vaccine hesitancy, particularly in Valenzuela City. We'll discuss this issue with Dr. Lulu Bravo of the Philippine Foundation for Vaccination. And Miss Mexico's Andrea Meza bags the 2020 Miss Universe crown. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. An Israeli airstrike in Gaza destroyed several homes on Sunday, killing 42 Palestinians as hostilities entered their second week. And as this report tells us, the latest round of violence has led to increasing international calls for a ceasefire.
Hamas! Palestinians searched for survivors in Gaza Sunday after an Israeli airstrike destroyed several homes and killed dozens, including at least 10 children, according to health officials, as Hamas militants fired rockets at Israel with no end in sight to 7 days of fighting. The Israeli military said in a statement that the civilian casualties were unintentional, saying its jets attacked a tunnel system used by Hamas, which collapsed, bringing the homes down. Hamas, the militant group that controls Gaza, called it, quote, a premeditated killing. On CBS's Face the Nation Sunday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu echoed his military's assertion that Israel tried to avoid civilian casualties, but that Hamas bore responsibility for, quote, intentionally locating its military infrastructure under civilian houses.
We are targeting a terrorist organization that is targeting our civilians and hiding behind their civilians, using them as human shields. We're doing everything we can to hit the terrorists themselves.
Netanyahu also defended an Israeli strike on Saturday that destroyed a 12-story building where the Associated Press and the Al Jazeera TV network had offices, saying Israel had informed the U.S. of the attack.
We share with our American friends all that intelligence, and here's the intelligence we had. It's about Palestinian terrorist, an intelligence office for the Palestinian terrorist organization housed in that building that plots and organizes the terror attacks against Israeli civilians. So it's a perfectly legitimate target.
The Associated Press has condemned the strike and asked Israel to put forward its evidence that Hamas was in the building.
The current hostilities are utterly appalling.
Meanwhile, in New York, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an immediate end to fighting at the Security Council's first public meeting on the conflict.
Fighting must stop.
Hamas began its rocket assault last Monday after weeks of tensions over a court case to evict several Palestinian families in East Jerusalem. And in retaliation for Israeli police clashes with Palestinians near the city's Al-Aqsa Mosque during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. On Sunday, video obtained by Reuters showed a car ramming into an Israeli police roadblock in East Jerusalem, where authorities said 6 police officers were injured in the incident and that the driver of the vehicle was shot dead at the scene. Later, in a statement, a spokesman from Hamas praised what he called, quote, a heroic and daring operation.
Meanwhile, U.S. President Joe Biden says his administration is working with both sides to de-escalate the tensions. Biden says everyone should be able to practice their faith with dignity and without fear of harassment or violence.
That's why I ended the shame. We also believe Palestinians and Israelis equally deserve to live in safety and security and enjoy equal measure of freedom, prosperity, and democracy. And my administration is going to continue to engage Palestinians and Israelis and other regional partners to work towards sustained calm. And in the tradition of Eid, we remain mindful of all those struggling around the world.
The Philippine government coordinating with the Tel Aviv embassy on providing assistance and evacuation of Filipinos in Israel. Overseas Workers Welfare Administrator Hans Skakdak says there are around 100 Filipinos currently living in the Gaza Strip and 300 others who live in areas affected by the violence. overall there.
Tingnan nyo, oh, puti ito.
Mas puti ito.
Mas puti ito. Mas puti ito. Mas puti ito.
Sa Thrive Bar, pwedeng hindi na mag-bleach, tina o anyel. Dahil ang Thrive Bar ay may power whitener na nanunood sa bawat tibla. Kaya ang gamit ay kislap puti at panayat pa sa kamay.
Mas puti ito. Mas puti ito. Mas puti ito.
Thrive Bar, hindi lang puti, kislap puti.
PCS. Boom, papaya. White Rose Papaya. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
White Rose Papaya na may double whitening, papaya extracts plus whitening ng vitamin B3. Clinically proven magpaputi in as early as 7 days.
Boom, puti ka, White Rose Papaya.
Papaya puti, papaya fast. White Rose Papaya.
Ma'am, pa-deliver ka na agad. Walang mabok.
Araw, kahit matindi ang init mo, ito tono ko pang mamunang damit ko.
Surf Bangkon with Sunblock Technology para blooming ang mamunang damit under the init.
Blooming?
Surf Bangkon, 5 pesos, SRP lang.
Mas masaya ang coffee bonding with the family. Kahit na may extra creamy. Puro at natural. Balanse ang timpla. Cool at chill. Iba-iba man ang timpla, kaya gawin with Nescafe Classic at Coffee Mate.
The Blue
Charm Batcon. Bangong gumaga Bloom Charm Batcon. Gamit ay may bangon ng salibong bulaklak.
Charm Fabric Conditioner with Stay Fresh Technology. Damit ay ka-bloom sa bango.
Charm Batcon. Bangong kumaka-bloom. Charm Batcon. Damit ay may bango ng salibong bulaklak.
Charm Fabric Conditioner. Bangong ka-bloom.
ACS.
Sakura.
Ang blooming na bango ng Sakura Blossom nasa Pride with Fabric Conditioner na. May Sakura Blooming Curls para sa labadang blooming sa linis, labadang blooming sa bango for as long as 24 hours.
Blooming ka, ha?
Uy! Blooming daw, ha?
Para sa blooming na labada, Pride Sakura Blossom. Isakura mo na!
ACS!
Inak!
Ang purpose ng dessert, palamigin ng summer.
Homemade ice cream natin. Nestle all-purpose cream mo. Para rich, thick, and creamy.
Ice creamy na!
Kaling natin, ha?
Creaminess from the heart.
Ma'am, pa-deliver ka na agad. Walang mabok.
Araw, kahit matindi ang init mo, ito tono ko pang bangunang damit ko.
Surf Bangkon with Sunblock Technology para blooming ang bangunang damit under the init.
Blooming?
Surf Bangkon, 5 pesos, SRP lang.
Back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on AMC. The Philippine government coordinating with the Tel Aviv embassy on providing assistance in evacuation of Filipinos in Israel. Overseas Workers Welfare Administrator Hans Kaktak says there are around 100 Filipinos currently living in the Gaza Strip and 300 others who live in surrounding areas affected by the violence. Overall, there are around 30,000 Filipinos in Israel. He notes they are generally safe and most have not sought evacuation. But Kaktak also says the Philippine government is ready for possible repatriation.
In general, OFWs are advised to stay indoors. And our OFWs are safe indoors with their employer households. Hindi ho widespread ang evacuation. But ang sinasabi ko lang po ay handa po ang Polo, OWA, ang embahada para mag-conduct po ng in-country evacuation. Bago pa man dumating sa mass repatriation, yung mass repatriation po hindi pa ho natin sinasagawa. Kasi yan po ay pinaghahandaan natin in case lumala po ang sitwasyon. Sa kasalukuyan, sarado ho kasi rin ang international airport.
The number of COVID-19 deaths in Brazil tops 435,000. That's after Brazil recorded more than 1,000 deaths and almost 41,000 infections in the past 24 hours alone. Brazil has the third most COVID-19 cases in the world and ranks second in terms of deaths. Health experts warn Brazil has not learned from its earlier mistake of easing restrictions last year, a mistake they say that led to this year's lethal surge. Well, despite his country's grim situation, Brazil's president encouraged his countrymen to go outside their homes and face up to the pandemic. We have this report.
O presidente do Brasil!
Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro told Brazilians it was time to face the pandemic head-on instead of hiding from it. On Saturday, he addressed a crowd in front of the Planalto Palace that was possibly the largest Bolsonaro had seen since the beginning of the health crisis.
We regret the deaths from COVID and the other deaths in Brazil, but we must face the problem. It is not by staying under the bed covers and at home that we are going to solve this problem. We have to face COVID-19. Life goes on. We are already talking about the third wave. If the third wave comes, then we will also have the fourth, fifth, sixth, infinite waves. Of course, we hope against it, but we must face it.
Health experts have said one of the most effective ways to stop the spread of the virus is to restrict people's movements. But since the beginning of the pandemic, Bolsonaro has fiercely opposed such measures. Earlier this month, Bolsonaro threatened to issue a decree to, quote, guarantee the right to come and go. And in his speech on Saturday, Bolsonaro reiterated his support for free movement. Brazil has one of the world's highest COVID-19 tallies, with over 15 million cases reported.
Thailand reports a new daily record of COVID-19 cases. More than 9,000 new cases have been reported. 6,000 were detected among prisoners from jail clusters. 25 new deaths also recorded, bringing the death toll to 614. As it battles a third wave of infections, Thailand has administered 2.2 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines. The country hopes to expand its vaccination by June, as more doses are expected to arrive. In Poland, champagne corks popped over the weekend as bars and restaurants opened their outdoor terraces for the first time in over 6 months. Here are details.
Poland celebrated at the strike of midnight on Friday as bars and restaurants reopened for the first time in over 6 months. Poles were gathered in a square in the capital, Warsaw, watching as a clock counted down the seconds. One manager of a few bars there compared it to New Year's Eve.
The mood is very much like New Year's Eve. You can feel the energy among the business owners and employees. The whole Polish hospitality industry has been waiting and counting down the time. That's why we came up with the idea of installing this clock to count down the time to reopening Polish catering businesses.
Starting Saturday, Poles will no longer be required to wear masks as long as they remain socially distant. And after only being able to serve takeaway food since October, bars and restaurants can now offer outdoor service. Indoor service will reopen with limited capacity on May 28. One bar customer described getting her social life back, now able to go out and have a drink without being fined for not wearing a mask. The government began easing restrictions this month after the number of coronavirus cases in Poland dropped sharply in April. According to the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control, about 14% of the population are now fully vaccinated, while about 36% have received at least one dose.
Australia refusing to reopen its borders until the middle of next year. The decision to limit nearly all foreign travel has been met with criticisms from businesses and even members of Prime Minister Scott Morrison's own political party. Take a look.
The Australian government is refusing to relent on its decision to keep the country's border closed to almost all international travel until the middle of next year, a decision that's drawing increased criticism from business and industry groups, as well as members of the Prime Minister's own party. Most flights have been for Australians returning from abroad. About 9,000 are trying to return from India alone. But the first flight back on Saturday was half empty because so many had tested positive. This was Prime Minister Scott Morrison's response.
I've seen the suggestion from others that who seem to think we can put people who have tested COVID positive on planes and bring them to Australia. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. We all want to support people as much as we can, but by importing COVID into the country, I don't think that's a very sensible or sound thing to do. This sort of testing is required from all places where people are coming from into Australia, whether it's in the UK or elsewhere. And, of course, it's important in India, and we've seen those high testing rates. And that's frankly why we took the action we did, because the risk was very, very high.
Australia's had one of the world's most successful efforts at fighting the disease, about 900 deaths and only 30,000 confirmed infections since the start of the pandemic. It's credited its border closure, swift contract tracing, and the public's compliance with social distancing measures. It also has a travel bubble with New Zealand, which also has very low infection rates.
The Philippines reports 5,719 new COVID-19 cases Sunday. The health department says six labs were unable to submit data, which may be the reason for the low number of new infections. COVID-19 testing also dipped last week. The total cases in the Philippines is now over 1,143,000. Meanwhile, the death toll from the virus rose by 140 Sunday, as fatalities near the 20,000 mark. The Philippines currently has 55,000 active COVID-19 cases. The Department of Health reports 10 more cases of the COVID-19 variant first detected in India. This brings the Philippines' total of that variant to 12. 9 of the cases are Filipino crew members of the MV Athens Bridge. That ship docked in the country last week after a dozen of its crew tested positive for the virus. 4 of them are still hospitalized, but in stable condition. The other new case is also a seafarer from Belgium who arrived in Manila on April 24 from the United Arab Emirates. The variant is believed to be responsible for the record-breaking infections in India.
Because these variants will now be it's not present in the Philippines, hopefully it will not be causing more cases or what we call community transmission, because it's very difficult, again, to have another surge and can also strain the function of most of the healthcare facility. There are already evidence that this variant can affect the efficacy of a vaccine, and we need more studies on that. These are the two aspects of variants what we should monitor: the number of cases because of its highly transmissible character, and at the same time how it can impact on those who are vaccinated and still to be vaccinated because of the protection that these vaccines can have against these variants.
The Philippine government last week extended and expanded its travel restrictions to halt the spread of the variant. Philippine Senator Sherwin Gatchalian sounds the alarm on vaccine hesitancy, particularly in the city of Valenzuela. Gatchalian says after 2 months since the vaccination rollout kicked off there, only 20% of citizens registered for vaccination. Only 19% of senior citizens had themselves inoculated. Gatchalian warns, with this pace, the country will not be able to achieve herd immunity by the end of the year. He adds vaccines will also spoil. The senator now urging the IATF to allow those under the A4 category, as well as the general public, to get vaccinated. Let's talk more about this. We're now going to talk to Dr. Lulu Bravo. She's Executive Director of the Philippine Foundation for Vaccination. Dr. Bravo, nice to see you again, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Carmina. It's really important for us to talk about vaccine hesitancy, you know.
Exactly. How have you been?
You know, we are, I think, improving in the way that almost all the health frontliners are still trying to get others, even those who are not in the medical front lines, to work together. You know, if you talk to doctors, the frontliners, they're, I think, more than 70% or past the 50%, I'm sure, that have been vaccinated. And that is a good, that is a very good example of how we should go about it.
Before we get into that, Dr. Bravo, I want to first get your assessment, even your description of the current state of vaccination here in the country.
For vaccination, we know that for the A1, who are the frontliners, the medical frontliners, they're past the 60-70%, I think. They're almost there, taking the herd immunity. As you know, the frontliners are the most vulnerable, the highest possible exposure, and they're the most important to be vaccinated. And then we have the senior citizens. Yes, you mentioned the senior citizens are still hesitant, and I would understand that. And that's the reason why we have to work together to really inform them that, in fact, they are most vulnerable also, especially the seniors who have hypertension, diabetes. If they get COVID, the percentage of those who are dying from COVID among seniors are very high, from almost 60 to as high as 80%. So we really have to go through the seniors, try to really convince them. And I think we're improving slowly, gradually, but surely we are getting there. Just let us help.
Yeah, Dr. Bravo, you're saying you're going to have to go to the senior citizens, those with comorbidities, to tell them to get vaccinated. But does the country have to go through that list first before it opens up the process of vaccination for those who are willing to get vaccinated, those who are just waiting in the wings to get their turn? Dr. Bravo.
Yes. Unfortunately, we do have to go through there because the vulnerable population, if they start getting all this COVID, and you know they're the most vulnerable, it will have to accrue. The collected number of patients who will go to the hospitals, who will die from COVID, they are this most vulnerable, the A2 and A3. And we need to have them vaccinated so they don't die, they don't get sick. Because our healthcare system, we could be overwhelmed if we have so many patients going to the hospital. So we really have to prioritize them. And the NITAG and the vaccine expert panel have worked through this. We want them to be the first ones to get vaccinated. Otherwise, they could end up in a hospital and we don't want them to be there, right?
Yeah, but Dr. Bravo, what do you think now of proposals to open up the process? Because as we wait for the seniors who have not registered, for people to show up, you have a great number of people who are just waiting in the wings, who are reeling to get vaccinated. You have Senator Sherwin Gatchalian. I also saw a tweet from Senator Coco Pimentel proposing that the process be opened up to accommodate those who are willing to get vaccinated. Your thoughts on the proposal?
Yes, I think that is a possibility. We always want to ensure that although you might have a little hesitancy in this age group, we continue to really inform them and convince them. But yes, at the end of the day, if you do have other essential frontliners that will be prioritized too, right? We need a prioritization program. We want a streamline. We want a, you know, not jumping one another, because that would be chaotic. But I think the LGUs, especially you mentioned Mayor Gatchalian and the other LGUs, yes, they have a major role to play. And this is where, as you can see, many of our LGUs, I could name a few, but I won't at this point, did have a very good way of vaccinating the seniors, then the 8-1, 8-2, 8-3, right? And that will be dependent so much on how we will be able to support the LGUs, the vaccination program. I think everybody naman is trying to do their best. Mm. And yes, I would give it to the LGUs to make sure that we do not waste, okay? We do not waste any vaccine that will be available, because the best vaccine is the one in your arm. And
exactly,
we will continue convincing them.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Dr. Bravo, tell us the dangers here. What are your concerns? If you open up the process, if you don't wait any longer for those who are hesitant to get vaccinated, what do you think is a danger there?
Well, as I said, it is very important that we prioritize. And this has been also according to the WHO. You remember the COVAX facility, the Astra, mm-hmm. the Pfizer that are being given now? That is dependent on the priority list that the Philippines submitted to the WHO. And we cannot just give it away as we want, because that depends on the priority list. Now, of course, we don't want to waste any vaccine. And that is where the LGU are now doing their registration, right? I think there are online registration. There are ways and means for us to make sure that there is a streamlined, there is an efficient way of getting these people to line up, to queue, and to schedule them so that we don't create any chaos or jumping, you know, the line, as they say. But I think I've observed some of the news on TV, and there are, I think, you know, we are doing so well in terms of prioritizing and putting up a good queue. I don't think there are many reports of really a chaotic line. I've seen some of the news. They're quite good. And I really appreciate what they are doing right now.
So even if we continue with the process, and even if we go to the A4 bracket as things stands right now, there's still that problem of people who are hesitating to get vaccinated. And if we don't solve that, what's going to happen to the herd immunity that we're aiming for?
I'm really hopeful that we can do something about the vaccine hesitant. As you all know, many of them are scared because they look at what we call infodemics, Facebook, the social media. Please let us tell them to rely on what reliable sources are, and that is the DOH, that is your traditional media, like your program or the programs that are being given, that gives them the announcements, the opportunities to ask questions, also town hall meetings that are being done by different agencies. I know for a fact that there are many helping us, not only the Philippine Medical Association, the various agencies, our group, the Philippine Foundation. We even have programs that try to convince the people. And these are the reliable sources. I think they should not share those infodemics that have been here for such a long time, since 1998. You know that the vaccine hesitancy started in 1998, when actually Andrew Wakefield created that big story about MMR and autism. And since then, there have been quite this number. And of course, there have been occasions. And we know that there are organized groups that go into conspiracies about vaccine. Mm-hmm. We should remember that 220 years of vaccination in the world today is responsible for 95% of global health. We wouldn't have a long life expectancy. We wouldn't have that saved millions of lives were it not for vaccines. And even then, you know, these people who actually started this vaccine hesitancy were those, maybe they were really not realizing that we have measles, polio, meningitis disappearing because of vaccines, right? And so they don't see the disease. And they fear mostly maybe side effects. But I can tell you honestly, I am in the committee for adverse events following vaccination. We are on top of this. We are trying to really look, investigate all those that have been reported as possibly adverse event, like even heart disease or strokes or sometimes sudden death. And they're saying, could it be due to the vaccine? Once we investigated and we look at the history, we find out that, in fact, this could have happened whether or not they got the vaccine. And this is what is very important to tell our people. Do not believe anything you read from Facebook.
Dr. Bravo, give it to us straight. How big of a concern is this hesitancy that it will hamper the rollout of the vaccination process here in the country? Because that seems to be the concern of the senators, at least those who spoke out, that it's hampering the progress of the vaccination rollout.
Well, I would say it is a significant percentage, and it differs from every kind of organization, because I have seen some organization with a high vaccine hesitancy as much as 50%, and I have seen some with only 10 to 20%. So it depends. I have to say it. It depends on the information and the people who are working towards convincing them. Even companies, even corporations, I guess there are several factors that will actually make them trust. See, the word here is not just hesitancy, Carmina.
Yeah.
The word is trust.
That's the other side of it.
Important thing. If you trust, it's not just the vaccine. If you trust the people who are making the policies, if you trust the people who are convincing you to get the vaccine, if you trust the public officials that work so hard to bring those vaccines to you, that is essentially what we need to do. It is a big factor, but I can tell you it depends on the trust that you give to the people who are going to give you the vaccines. And this is worldwide. I mean, this is not only in the Philippines. I would say that even in the U.S., just look at what's happening in the U.S. You know what's happening there. Who are the vaccine hesitants?
Yeah. Well, I want to move on to the next question here, final question for today. How long of a period do you think Dr. Bravo should be allotted to those to the convincing of those who are hesitant before you move on to the next tier? Because that, as I said, that is the fear, that we may be waiting for people who aren't going to show up anyway.
Carmina, I think if we just spend more time going into the sort of convincing and information dissemination, the accurate information, we should be there in due time. We cannot delay vaccination, definitely. We want our people to get 70% immunity, the so-called herd immunity. We want them to be there as soon as possible because we want to end this pandemic as soon as possible. And for every community, every country, this is a task that has to be done not by government alone, but by the people themselves. We have to work together. You know, vaccines work. Vaccines are safe and vaccines are effective. That is the slogan that we in the Philippine Foundation for Vaccination and all the WHO people will really tell you. Vaccines work, vaccines are safe, and vaccines are effective. And this we all have to disseminate towards the conclusion of having a 70% vaccinated. We need our people to really be able to get out of this pandemic. Look at what's happening in Israel. They're no longer, of course, there's war there. You know, that's their, it was so disheartening to say that we are trying to make them an example that after they have vaccinated 80%, they are now removing their mask. And even in the U.S., you can see that, right? You can hear the news from the U.S. that they are now able to say they can remove their mask, they can start, you know, going back to normal lives and hugging children who have, if you are fully vaccinated, you can hug your mothers, you can hug your sisters, brothers. Oh my God, can we not do that again? We can if we just work together. And this is also for our people to really understand.
Okay, so very loud and clear there coming from Dr. Lulu Bravo. Jumping on to the next level, to the next tier, that's not going to be the solution. More information dissemination to address that vaccination hesitancy, that is the key. Dr. Lulu Bravo, Executive Director of the Philippine Foundation for Vaccination, thanks again for joining us and you keep safe. Take care.
Thank you. And you too, Carmina.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Bye. All right, we're going to take a break now. Still ahead, we'll get a wrap of the results from the just concluded Miss Universe pageant. This is Dateline Philippines. Stay with us here on AM. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Violence in Gaza enters its second week as calls mount for a ceasefire. Brazil's president urges his countrymen to go outside and face COVID-19, even as the country's death toll tops 435,000. A Philippine senator expresses alarm on vaccine hesitancy, particularly in the city of Valenzuela. Amid calls to open up the process, the Philippine Foundation for Vaccination says the country must still follow its prioritization list. And Miss Mexico's Andrea Mesa bags the 2020 Miss Universe crown. Back with more news, the healthcare utilization rate in hospitals across Metro Manila showing signs of improvement as COVID-19 cases in the region decline. The Philippine Health Department says 51% of isolation and COVID-19 ward beds are currently occupied, an improvement from the numbers seen 2 weeks ago. But the intensive care unit utilization remains high at 61%, with some hospitals still at moderate to critical risk.
If you take a look at the HCUR, which is really an aggregate or the sum usage rate of the COVID beds, ICU beds, and the isolation beds, and the ventilator, you'd see here a 51% or a 50 to 51% utilization rate. That's in the low-risk position. If you try to disaggregate and try to look at the data of the intensive care units, it's still quite busy up there. It's 66%. With some of the areas, specifically in, I think it's in one in Pasay, in Makati, it's still in a critical risk position. But that there's now a downward trend in terms of the HCUR of the intensive care unit. That's basically because some of the hospitals in the neighboring, especially here in Metro Manila, have allocated more beds, transforming part of their isolation beds into critical care beds. And we have also opened up the modular field hospital.
The Philippine General Hospital hoping to resume operations in 24 to 48 hours following the fire that broke out Sunday. The fire hit the operating room sterilization area on the third floor and was extinguished 5 hours later. Authorities still investigating its cause. For now, the hospital's emergency room will be closed since COVID-19 patients were evacuated there. PGH spokesperson Dr. Jonas Del Rosario is confident the incident did not inadvertently cause the spread of the virus at the country's largest COVID-19 referral hospital.
What we did is there's a separate, so hindi pwede maghalo, COVID and non-COVID. So we have a separate, basically we have, if you look at PGH, we divided it into two. Yung kalahate, COVID, kalahate, non-COVID. So even the pathway where people walk, it's a COVID-restricted area. So there's no way that a non-COVID patient or a non-COVID bystander will be able to get into a COVID-restricted area.
The PGH calling for emergency aid and is accepting food and non-food donations as well as cash. Those interested can also coordinate with their Bayanihan Operations Center at 155-200. Well, it's about time government explores a public-private partnership to better manage the upkeep of the Philippine General Hospital. Senator Richard Gordon says the private sector can come in anytime to help overhaul the hospital.
The building itself,
yes,
that protects its equipment, that protects the people, yan ang kailangan natin ayusin. The calamity fund should be put into focus right away and put it there. The PWA should get in there. Nothing should be spared to make sure that this is your chance now to fix up PGH, not just this third floor. So it's important that we check, take a quick look right away there. We should help PGH in that regard. I think providing donations itself is a way of alleviating our pain that we might lose PGH. But really, it's the government's responsibility. And it's about time that we start going on public and private partnerships. You know, you could be innovative by having the private sector take a particular ward.
Several alumni of San Beda University calling on their fellow alumnus, President Rodrigo Duterte, to correct his statements about the West Philippine Sea. In a statement, over 100 San Beda graduates say Duterte must retract his claim, China is in possession of the West Philippine Sea. They also want Duterte to withdraw his declaration, saying the 2016 arbitral award that invalidated Beijing's claims in the country's waters is a mere piece of paper. Finally, the San Beda alumni also urged Duterte to publicly uphold the constitution, which ensures the protection of the country's marine wealth. Philippine Vice President Lenny Robredo says all options remain open for the 2022 national elections. Robredo admits she finds local positions more attractive at this point, but she dismisses reports she is preparing to run as governor of Camarines Sur. Robredo says she will let the people know once she makes up her mind.
Mula last year, sinabi ko na open ako sa lahat ng options. At ano yung mga options ngayon? Tumakbo ako ng pangulo. Tumakbo ako ng governor. Tumakbo ako ng congressman. Mm-hmm. Dati kong position, tumakbo ako ng mayor. O hindi na ako tumakbo at all. Yun yung gusto ng mga anak ko. Hinahanap ko kasi yung engagement sa ground ever since naman yung trabaho ko sa communities. Pero ako, despite that, naiintindihan ko na may mga responsibilities ako. Kaya nga hindi pa ako sarado na hindi ako magkakandidatong presidente.
Last week, former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV announced his interest in replacing Robredo as the presidential candidate of the opposition coalition Isambayan. That's if Robredo decides not to run for the highest post in the land. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Opposition coalition Isambayan will be announcing its potential bets for the 2022 polls soon. One of its conveners, Attorney Howard Calleja, says they will allow the public to participate in the process via a survey. Aside from Robredo and Trillanes, other possible presidential bets the coalition is considering are Senators Grace Poe and Nancy Binay and Manila Mayor Isko Moreno.
We are scheduling an announcement of our process and of our start of our people's survey or an open survey for our members and the public starting June 12. That would last a couple of weeks to a maximum of 1 month, which would help us or be one of the data sets or one of the things that we will consider in choosing our nominee for the position of president, vice president, and senators. Both parties are happy to have engaged and to have reached out to each other. And I think it would just be a proper of time on both parties that, as I said, we will announce these additional individuals who will be included in this in our pool of nominees.
An update on the weather now. Stay indoors and stay hydrated. That's the advice of Philippine Weather Bureau PAGASA. It warns the heat index in Metro Manila may reach 39 to 41 degrees Celsius in the coming days. PAGASA says only go out for essentials and to bring water and an umbrella, even or especially when you go outside. In sports, the NBA's playoff and play-in cast finally set. The Philadelphia 76ers are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. The second seed went to the Brooklyn Nets, followed by the Milwaukee Bucks, New York Knicks, Atlanta Hawks, and Miami Heat. The East play-in cast pits the Boston Celtics against the Washington Wizards and the Indiana Pacers versus the Charlotte Hornets. The winner between Boston and Washington earns the seventh seed in the playoffs. The loser plays the winner of the Indiana-Charlotte matchup for the eighth seed. Out west, the top six seeds are Utah, Phoenix, Denver, the LA Clippers, Dallas, and Portland. The defending champions, Los Angeles Lakers, will have to book their playoff seat via the play-in tournament. They'll play the Golden State Warriors in a one-game affair for the seventh seed. The loser takes on the winner of the Memphis-San Antonio tussle. A day after enshrining one of the greatest batches of basketball Hall of Famers, the class of 2021 has been revealed. Elected to this year's batch are NBA greats Paul Pierce, Chris Webber, Chris Bosh, and Ben Wallace. Pierce helped the Boston Celtics win make the 2008 NBA title. He is a 10-time All-Star and scored more than 26,000 points in his career. Bosh won two championships with the Miami Heat, while Webber was a five-time All-Star. Wallace powered the Detroit Pistons to the 2004 championship and is considered one of the greatest defensive players in NBA history. The 2021 class will be enshrined on September 11th. Mexico's Andrea Meso wins the 2020 Miss Universe crown. Miss Mexico bested 73 other contestants for the title in the 69th edition of the pageant held in Florida. She's also the second Miss Universe title holder during the pandemic after Josefine Tunzi of South Africa. Miss Mexico's runners-up include Brazil, Peru, India, and Dominican Republic. The Philippines' bet, Rabia Mateo, meanwhile finished in the top 21. A supernatural thriller and an action movie headlined by Angelina Jolie. Our Hollywood correspondent Manny the Movie Guy reviews these two latest releases from Tinseltown.
Angelina Jolie returns to the big screen in Those Who Wish Me Dead, a movie that is as straightforward as its title. High above the Montana wilderness stands Jolie's Hannah. She's a smoke jumper, a highly trained wildland firefighter. But her training is soon put to the test when she meets Finn Littles Connor, a young boy chased by dangerous assassins. But there's a bigger threat, a raging wildfire.
You gonna run?
Based on the novel by Michael Corita, director Taylor Sheridan created an action-packed thriller that I wish is just a little more heart. But it's fun to see Jolie back in an action film, and her chemistry with Finn is what makes the movie. You can predict how the film will end, but seeing Jolie's burning rage front and center is worth everything. And for that, Those Who Wish Me Dead gets 3 in theaters and HBO Max kisses. Also in theaters, The Djinn. Like Those Who Wish Me Dead, this one is simple premise, but comes with an abundance of heart.
We start thinking about the things we're missing.
Set in 1989, the fantastic Ezra Dewey is Dylan Jacobs, a mute boy who accidentally unleashes the djinn, a sinister monster who grants your wish that comes with a terrifying price.
I'm glad you got that.
From writers-directors David Charbonnier and Justin Powell, the film is so simple yet scary, largely because of limited resources. Like, why did they make Dylan mute?
Because that simply came out of us wanting to be respectful to these neighbors. It was, we're in this small apartment complex.
The djinn may have no budget, but it doesn't look cheap. The filmmakers created a frighteningly smart movie that could have been a Home Alone with a monster showdown. But what we got is a coming-of-age film that will stick with you thanks to Ezra's performance.
What?
And for that, The Djinn gets 3.5 out of 4 Deadly Wish kisses. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for ANC. Be careful what you wish for.
And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.